Are we on the air?
Yes, we're on, Josh.
We are on the air.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, welcome everyone to Speaking of Strange, the big Halloween edition. I am Joshua P. Warren. This is usually when our intro would play, but we are having some technical difficulties. That's because a certain douchebag decided to bring us out here into the middle of nowhere tonight. His initials are Forrest Connor. Forrest, where are we?
We are somewhere in Madison County. You said you wanted to go camping before my big event this week.
Yeah, but I don't even think I could find my way back to the car at this point. It's a bit overboard.
Don't worry.
The fire is nice. We are in the middle of a vast, huge wilderness out here. It's very dark. It's very cold. So at least we have a fire burning here. And bear with us if we have technical issues here this evening. Forrest, actually, I must commend you because you have rigged up a pretty nice setup here. Our show tonight is being powered by the Sunshine Simple Generator, and it looks like that all of our technical stuff is all on this one laptop. Is that how you've set it up?
This and my cell phone.
Okay.
Which is having issues right now getting a signal.
Mine is too. Hopefully that won't be a problem. Okay, so Forrest, how on this laptop have you set up everything? How do you bring in the music?
Okay, give me 1 second. I'll get over there and show you.
You don't even know how to bring in the music.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Okay. All right. Right here. Right here is where you bring up your music.
Okay.
Right. Hold on. Let's see if it works. There we go.
Okay. That's cool. And how do we go to breaks?
Right here.
Okay. I see. All right. This is cool. This is great. I mean, we are literally in the middle of nowhere out in the woods. And for those of you who don't know, Forrest is getting married on October 31st. And so this is kind of a last hurrah for a free man, huh, Forrest?
It is. It is. And I figured, you know, let's do something fun.
Well, we are out here. It's just the two of us tonight, actually. I think Shelley Wright is the smartest person. She decided to stay home tonight. She claims she's under the weather, but I think she has better judgment.
I don't think she likes camping. I don't think she's outdoor tonight.
I haven't been camping in years, and it's going to be really cold.
Last time I went camping, we were up on Brown Mountain.
Gosh, you know, it may be the same for me. It might have been that long ago. So, well, listen, here's what we'd like all of you to do who are tuning in for this special Halloween show, because this is our last Speaking of Strange before Halloween. We would like it, if you can, if you're at home, just turn off all your lights and light some candles, because other than this laptop here, we are attempting to do this whole show tonight by lanterns and candlelight to capture the mood.
And the Sunshine Simple Generator.
Well, yeah, but, you know, the Sunshine Simple is powering our electronics, but I'm in my little cubby here, and I've just got a lantern. Hopefully I'll be able to see everything. What a show! What a Halloween show we are going to attempt to do tonight!
I hope so.
This is weird. We've never done anything like this. So we've already set up our tents. We got here hours ago. We've been preparing for this. So Forrest, he's over there manning his laptop. I'm sitting here in front of my little microphone, and tonight we are going to read scary stories. We have weird news. We have poetry. I mean, this is going to be kind of an ultimate Halloween show. But honestly, you're going to appreciate it best if you put yourself into a situation similar to the one that we are in. So keep it dark, light the candles, and you know, Forrest, it's kind of a tradition on this show around Halloween to play some extremely creepy exorcism audio.
Right.
And I think we're going to do that later on in the show. That disturbs a lot of people. They do not like hearing the sounds of a real exorcism taking place.
Hey, good thing is I'm not going to be in the studio to get the emails and everyone saying, don't play it this year. Don't do it. Because every year, you never fail. Someone either calls in or more than one person calls in and says, don't do this, Josh. Don't do this.
Yeah.
But you know what?
We're going to do
another contact this year.
That's right. We're going to do it regardless. And we are going to, yeah, we're going to play some of that. And also, hour number two, I have some kind of interesting information about ghost photography that I'm going to share with everybody tonight. This, it feels weird doing the show this way, doesn't it?
It does. But, you know, I was telling you earlier in the day, it's like, you know, the weather's cool out here tonight.
To say the least.
But, you know, after the summer we've had, it feels refreshing to me.
Well, you know, I spent 4.5 months in Puerto Rico this year, so it seems pretty darn cold out here to me tonight. But the fire is warm. As long as we keep a log on the fire, we'll be okay. And every once in a while, the wind picks up. Hey, you know, Forrest, I received a really nice birthday gift because my...
Your birthday was last week?
It was yesterday. It was October 25th. And I got a package from one of our biggest fans, a great friend of the show, William J. Crissell. The guy, you can tell he listens to the show because he sent me a bottle of booze, and I was like, yeah, this guy knows what he's doing. But he also included a little gift for you and Shelley, which we'll get to Shelley sometime in the future. He has written a novel, and here's your copy of it, Forrest. He signed it. It's called Fairy and Blood, Lilac, by William J. Crissell. It's a creepy-looking cover. It's black with, like, blood spattered on it, and I haven't gotten to read this yet. But thank you, Will. That's very cool. You know, in fact, if you go to the Asheville Mystery Museum, there's a little cursed doll in there from Germany or the Bavarian region, and that was donated years ago by Will. So he has frequently been a contributor to our endeavors here. I look forward to digging into this. And let me also say I want to thank all of you who have sent me birthday wishes, and the very best thing you can do if you want to send me a little present, unless you're going to send me a bottle of booze, just go to sunshinesimple.com. And scroll down to the bottom and donate some money to the Sunshine Simple Nonprofit Foundation Fund. That would be a really nice thing to do for everybody. So that's what I would like all of you who want to send me a birthday present to do. Go there to the Sunshine Simple Foundation. But
well, I like the page you opened this book. This is with Mr. Crystal's book here. It's like, this is the tale of a fairy, though it's not thought to be whimsical. While most tales are good nature things, this is a tale of noir. This is a tale of pain and struggle in the face of determination. This is not a tale for the faint of heart.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, some evil fairy, I'm imagining. It says on the back here, a little fairy, so determined and strong, a bloody path you must walk along. Oh, tiny fairy, so fierce and bold, a crimson tale that must unfold. So raise your blade and take the haste, and cut down opposition faced. So I'm not sure exactly where to get this book yet. We'll have to talk to Will about that at some point in the future. But, yeah, Fairy and Blood by William J. Crissell. Last name is C-R-I-S-E-L. Thank you, Will. Very cool. Oh, man. Well, you know, I've got so much stuff to dig into tonight. You see this stack of books I have next to me, Forrest?
Yes.
These are some of my favorite books of ghost stories and ghost poems. We've got a big stack of news, and we're just going to work our way through this tonight. And hopefully we will survive out here. Now, why exactly did you pick this particular place? We didn't have to get this remote on our remote. Why did you pick this place, Mark?
Well, I came in contact with the caretaker of this property through a friend of a friend of a friend, pretty much, who knew that we were into this, and he thought that it might be interesting if we go up and check this place out. And I said, well, how about we go camping up here? He's like, okay. And then, well, some things have happened up here, which I'll get into a little bit later.
Things have happened up here, huh?
Well, things and some sightings, you might say.
Okay. I had a feeling that you were bringing me somewhere to just try to scare me tonight.
No, of course not.
I feel like I'm on that mountain above Pinhead's graveyard. You know, the one that we were talking with Otis about. I know we're not there, but that's what
miles away.
Yeah, I mean, there really is nothing up here. But it's perfect. I mean, anything can happen. And since the sun has gone down, I don't know if it's my eyes playing tricks when I look past the fire, but I could have sworn that I have seen some shadows moving around out there. So if you better not have anybody planted out here.
Oh, there's no one out here, Mr. Warren. It's just you and I.
Well, that's true.
It's just you and I.
Okay. All right. Very well. So, this is a especially weird and, like, creepy Halloween season. You know, I do some tours downtown in Asheville. As a matter of fact, tomorrow night, I'm doing a walking tour. That's a Sunday night there, October 27th, downtown. And then I'm going to do a trolley tour and a walking tour on October 31st. All that stuff is at hauntedasheville.com. But I was downtown the other day, and a guy says, "Oh, look, there's a clown."
No.
And I look to my right, and sure enough, there's a guy, but he's only wearing a clown wig, and he's running around. Now, I read a story on the show last week about some guys only wearing clown wigs. Do you recall this, Forrest?
Yes.
And they did some pretty perverted and weird things to a lady on the side of the street. And now I see this story. Listen to this headline. Mexican drug lord killed by clown assassin at birthday party. A high-ranking member of a once-powerful drug clan was assassinated during a children's party by a gunman dressed as a clown. The guy was shot in the chest and the head at a rental house at the Cabo San Lucas Resort on the Baja California Peninsula. Killer's disguise included a wig and a round red nose. A motive for the killing was not immediately clear. Well, we can imagine that. The clown had performed tricks and acted perfectly normal for about an hour, and then bang, bang, and then the clown just walks out the door and vanishes. Clown killer is out there. I mean, clowns are now dangerous enough, they're assassinating mafioso.
Yeah.
There's something really creepy going on with clowns this year. Oh, man. Do you know yet what you're going to be for Halloween, Forrest? Have you thought about that?
I'm going to be married.
Yeah, but I know during your wedding you're going to be just wearing your tux or something, right?
I'm going to wear, we're not getting tux, but our Sunday best.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, t-shirt and jeans.
Well, that. And then the reception, we're having reception a couple days later. I think Kelly and I are going to do sort of the dress up as hippies type thing.
Oh, okay. Well, that's scary enough, I guess.
Yeah.
In and of itself. I have been doing a lot of speaking engagements recently. I did one earlier a few days ago. It was packed out. People were literally crawling all over each other. I'm not making it up. We sold out of books. It was very cool. And I just found out I'm going to be doing another speaking engagement this spring in upstate New York. So I'll tell everybody about that when all the details are solidified. But trying to keep everybody in the loop. Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, well, I think I'd like to kick off the show next segment with one of my favorite stories to dig into, a little legend this time of year. You're listening to the program where the unusual become usual. It is the Halloween edition of the program. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and you are listening to Speaking of Strange.
Okay, Mikey, are we clear?
Known as Stingy Jack. Now, Jack was known throughout the land as a deceiver, a manipulator, a dredge of society. And on a fateful night, the devil overheard the tale of Jack's evil deeds and silver tongue, and he became envious of the rumors. And so the devil went to find out for himself whether or not Jack lived up to his vile reputation. Well, typical of Jack, one night he was drunk and wandering through the Irish countryside, and he came upon a grimacing, terrible, dead body lying in the middle of the path. And then the body rose, its face animated, and it was, in fact, the devil. And Jack realized somberly this was his end. The devil had finally come to collect his malevolent soul. And Jack said to the devil, "Before you take me to hell, will you at least let me drink one last pint of ale?" And the devil said, "Sure, I'll join you." So the devil took Jack to the local pub, and they sat around, and they drank a lot of alcoholic beverages. But then it came time to pay the tab, and Jack had no money. And Jack says to the devil, "I've heard you're powerful, and you can do whatever you want. How about you transform into a silver coin, and I'll pay the bartender?" And the devil says, "Yeah, I don't know." And Jack says, "Oh, come on. You don't have the power to do that?" And the devil says, "Fine." So the devil metamorphosed into a silver coin. And immediately Jack stuck the coin into his pocket, which also contained a crucifix that Jack always carried with him. Now, when the devil is next to a crucifix, he's trapped. He can't do anything. The devil realized he'd been had. And so Jack said to the devil, "I will not free you unless you agree to spare my soul for another 10 years. Now the devil had no choice. 10 years later, to the date, Jack was again wandering through the countryside, drunk at night, and voila, the devil appeared, ready to claim Jack's soul. Jack sighed, and he said, "Well, before I go to hell, can I have one last apple to feed my starving belly?" Well, foolishly, the devil said, "Sure." There was a big apple tree nearby, and the devil climbed up to grab an apple, and immediately Jack surrounded the base of the tree with crucifixes, and the devil was enraged. He'd been trapped once again and demanded his release. And as Jack did before he made a demand, he said, "I'll only release you if you agree to never take me into hell." The devil agreed and was set free. Well, eventually, all the drinking and the unstable lifestyle did take its toll on Jack, and he died the way he lived. So Jack skyrockets up to heaven, and when he got there at the gates, St. Peter stopped him. And St. Peter said, "I don't know what you think you're doing. You don't get to come to heaven. You've been deceitful. You've been drunk the whole time. You get to go to hell." And he sent Jack right down to the gates of hell. But the devil told Jack, "We made a deal, remember? I can't take your soul." And that's when he broke the news. Jack was going to wander in another world forever. He gave Jack an ember, tossed it that day into a carved out turnip. And from that day to this very day, Jack is doomed to roam the world between the planes of good and evil with only an ember inside a hollow turnip. Because of that, those who see his lamp burning in the countryside at night call him Jack of the Lantern, what you might know as a jack-o'-lantern. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Yes, that's where the old Irish legend of the jack-o'-lantern comes from. old Stingy Jack. I've never been out to Stingy Jack's pumpkin patch. I've heard the commercials for it. Have you, Forrest?
I've not.
Yeah. Seems like an interesting place to check out sometime, though. As you may know already, we are out here in the middle of nowhere in the forest doing our special Halloween edition remote of Speaking of Strange. And for those of you who are online, well, there's a live chat in the chat room there at speakingofstrange.com. You'll also find links to topics we discuss. You'll find links to the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours. We have trolley tours, walking tours. And remember now, tomorrow night, I'm going to be doing a walking tour in downtown Asheville. You can join, and I'll be doing one more on October 31st. Just go to hauntedasheville.com. You'll also find our Twitter feeds there. You can follow me at Joshua P. Warren. And Forrest, your Twitter is at SOS Hardwood, right?
That's correct.
At SOS Hardwood, and that way you can keep up with me and Forrest and our various and nefarious adventures. Yeah. Here's a story from not too far away, I guess, Tennessee, Mountain City, Tennessee. I'm not exactly sure where Mountain City is. Do you know, Forrest?
Yeah. I'd say it's in the mountains somewhere.
Yeah. It says here, it sounds nuts, but a Tennessee police officer has been kicked off the force after a run-in with a squirrel. This guy apparently was called to the Dollar General store where there was a squirrel running amok, and the officer decides to start shooting at it inside the store. He's running around. They say he's shooting his gun, he's spraying mace and pepper spray all over the place. Says there were a lot of people in the store who already were suffering from ringing ears, and they were really scared when they were overcome by the fumes from the mace and pepper spray. Customers came out coughing and hacking, having breathing problems in the parking lot. Kids were crying. It was complete and total chaos. Sounds comical, but says the customer sure didn't feel that way. They don't know exactly how many shots the police officer fired there inside the Dollar General. So far, the officials have refused to release the surveillance tape or a report on the amount of damage that was done to the store. They're just glad no one was fatally injured. And they say this officer had nearly two decades of experience, but he refused to explain his shooting or file a report on the use of force, so he was fired by the town's board of mayor and aldermen. How weird is that, huh? The guy freaked out and goes on a shooting rampage over a squirrel. I've never shot a squirrel. Have you shot a squirrel, Forrest?
I've shot at squirrels. I've never been hit with a BB gun.
I've eaten squirrels. When fixed properly, they're quite tasty.
I've never eaten squirrel.
Yeah. I used to have a buddy who would go squirrel hunting. He'd bring back a whole big cooler full of squirrels.
They're a little greasy.
The way he prepared them, they were quite good. I don't remember them being overly greasy. I mean, I don't remember how he prepared them either. But, yeah, I was impressed. Here's a story about another guy who flipped out in a store. This is from the Czech Republic. It says here, hell hath no fury like a man denied the last few bites of pudding. This man was eating in a restaurant recently when employees told him to leave because it was closing time, even though he was not finished with his chocolate pudding. But they say he got his just dessert shortly thereafter. He came back to the eatery, this time with a chainsaw, and cut a hole into the restaurant. Police say, quote, he sliced a hole in the door, climbed inside, and went to his table. But when he grabbed the half-finished dessert, he was overpowered by a waiter and handed over to police.
Where's my pudding?
They say it's the first time chainsaws have chopped their way into the... it's not the first time chainsaws have chopped their way into the weird news section. There's a whole list of other people. Missouri, of course, Florida, Knoxville, Tennessee, people who have incorporated a chainsaw of one kind or another into their bad day, so to speak.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. I I hope nobody's running around with a chainsaw out here. I swear I have seen some shadows moving around.
It's probably just your eyes in the campfire.
I've been around campfires before, and seriously, Forrest, you haven't planted anybody out here, have you?
Time for a break.
Okay, we'll take a break. When we come back, maybe I'll read you a creepy story. Yeah, it's Halloween, and this is the Halloween edition. So we kind of pride ourselves on getting everybody properly in the mood. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and you are listening to Speaking of Strange. October 31st. It was like the earth had died for a night, and on its last exhale, as the life slipped away, the darkness of the other world had oozed into the void left behind. Ever so gently, the sun had submerged into the grave of the horizon, leaving behind a cold blue world to fend for itself. The leaves and trees were dry and crackly, and the air was so thin that it could not restrain the spirits of the dead, unleashing them into the helpless realm of the living. The color black had never looked blacker, and the lustrous moon above, a mangy cat at the side of the road, and the fire in a jack-o'-lantern's eyes never looked more sinister. The sky above felt bigger and bleaker than before, its infinite mystery overwhelming. And within each shadow, a spectral predator lurked and waited, watching, always watching. But amongst the more substantial underlying malevolence of the night, frivolities danced about its crust. There were rubber bats flapping from bands of elastic, fabric ghosts hanging from trees, grinning gap-toothed pumpkins at every doorstep, and the people, the people. It was like the world had turned inside out for a night, and all of society filled the streets. Both children and adults were decked in costumes of every kind. Witches, goblins, werewolves, Frankenstein monsters, and grotesque slashed faces strolled every lane. Plastic cauldrons of candy sweets abounded. Houses were mummified with soaring rolls of toilet paper. Dry ice fog rolled off green fountains of punch, and floating apples were bobbed for from wide, germ-filled vats. In ghoulish garb, storytellers sat around laughing campfires, relating creepy tales of the past. Stories of hooks and hitchhikers, spook-infested houses, heads in bags, cold-blooded murders, and pranks gone terribly wrong. All of them true, of course. And at Helen's Bridge, teens gathered to spot the ghostly mistress, perhaps to find her handprint burned permanently into the finish of their cars. At other places, like the secluded vacant water tower, the open cut, or Spidey Mountain, some of the more bold searched to find Satanists absorbed in their cursed rites, a human sacrifice splayed before them. Young men, intrepid and dashing in their capes and masks, competed for the favors of young women, dressed seductively in the revealing costumes of morbid temptresses. Smoke, candy, mischief, tales, spirits, ancient evil, and the crisp air. This was Halloween. And that is a passage from the novel that I wrote 13 years ago. It's called The Evil in Asheville, because the word Asheville has the word evil right in the middle of it. A-S-H-E-V-I-L-L-E. The Evil in Asheville. And, it was a novel that I wrote about, a cursed castle and a man who is obsessed with gaining entrance to that castle for some reason. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren with producer Forrest Connor. And, it's our Halloween edition. We are out here in the middle of nowhere in the woods. It's very creepy. It's cold, except when we are really nestled up to this fire. And that's why I hope all of you will keep your lights turned low, if you can, and maybe light some candles as you hang out with us tonight. And I'm just going to read some stories and poems, and once in a while I'll touch base back with the news. Here's a story that I like. It's called The Monkey's Paw. After the third glass of whiskey, the sergeant major's eyes got brighter, and he began to talk of wars and plagues and strange people and even stranger lands. He had traveled the world over, and had only recently returned from India. Mr. White, with his wife and only son Herbert, hung on the old sailor's every word. "I'd like to go to India myself," said Mr. White, "just to look around a bit, you know. I should like to see those old temples and fakers and jugglers. What was that you were telling me the other day about a monkey's paw or something you brought back?" The sergeant major set down his glass and then took an odd-looking object from his pocket and set it on the table. "This is a monkey's paw? Oh, my," said Mrs. White.
"Well, it's just a bit of what you might call magic, perhaps," said the sergeant major gravely.
"What is there special about it?" asked Mr. White as he picked it up, examined it, and placed it again on the table.
"It had a spell put on it by an old faker," the sergeant major said, "a very holy man. He wanted to show that fate ruled people's lives, and that those who interfered with it did so to their sorrow. He put a spell on it so that three separate men could each have three wishes from it."
"Well, why don't you have three, sir?" said Herbert cleverly.
"I have," he said quietly, and his face turned pale as he spoke.
"And did your wishes come true?" asked Mrs. White.
"They did."
"And has anybody else wished?" asked Herbert.
"Yes, his first two wishes I do not know, but his third was for death. That's how I got the paw."
And he suddenly picked up the paw and threw it into the fire. But Mr. White hurriedly retrieved it from the fire before it burned.
"Better to have let it burn," said the sergeant major. "If you keep it, don't blame me for what happens. If you must wish, wish for something sensible, or it will make you as sorry as I was."
After the sergeant major left, the three began to talk. "You don't really believe that fairy tale, do you?" asked Mrs. White with a smile.
"Well, it can't hurt to try. If it's a fake, we're none the worse," said the son. "Go on, father. Wish for 200 pounds.
"Well, I suppose there's no harm in it. All right, I wish for 200 pounds, said Mr. White as he held the paw in his hand.
The next moment he dropped the paw, crying out,
"It moved! I would swear that thing moved in my hand."
"Oh, don't be silly," said Mrs. White. "All those stories have really got to you.
I dare say you'll be up half the night. When the 200 pounds failed to show itself, the family decided it was time for bed. The paw was left on the table. In the morning, Herbert went off to work at the factory as usual, and Mr. White, long retired, helped his wife around the house. And that afternoon, a grave-looking man paid the whites a visit. The stranger was brought into the parlor. "I was asked to call," he said slowly, and then paused. "I come from Ma and Megan's, the factory."
"Is anything the matter?" said Mrs. White breathlessly. "Herbert? Oh, no. What is it, please?"
"I regret to inform you that your son was killed today. He came too close to the machinery and was dragged in. Though it can be of little comfort, the company has instructed me to give you the sum of 200 pounds for the loss of your son." Now, 2 weeks after the funeral, the old couple's grief had not diminished. One night while in bed, the wife cried out wildly,
"The paw! The monkey's paw, of course!"
"Where? What? What is it?" mumbled Mr. White, starting up from his sleep. "What's wrong?
Why didn't you think of it? The paw! We still have exactly 2 wishes to make. Go and get it quickly," his wife said excitedly.
"Was one not enough?" demanded the old man.
"No," she cried happily. "We'll have one more. Go down there and get it and wish our boy alive again."
"Well, you've gone mad. He's been 2 weeks in the grave, and besides he..." "Well, I would not tell you, but I could only recognize him by his clothing. If he was too terrible for you to see then, how now?"
"Bring him back," cried the old woman. "Do you think I fear the child I nursed?"
Dragging him downstairs, she put the paw in his hand and said, "Wish!" No sooner had he made the terrible wish than a knock came at the door. There was another knock, and another. The old woman ran to the door and began undoing the locks.
"For God's sake, don't let it in," cried the old man, trembling. "You're afraid of your own son," she said, struggling to reach the top bolt. The knocking grew louder and louder as she strained to reach the latch. "I can't reach the bolt. Help me."
In his excitement, the old man had dropped the paw on the floor, and now he was on his hands and knees, groping wildly in search of it. If he could only find it before the thing outside got in. The knocking now thundered throughout the house and was almost deafening. He heard the creaking of the bolt as it came slowly back, and at the same moment he found the paw and frantically breathed his third and last wish. The knocking ceased suddenly, and he heard a long, loud wail of misery from his wife as she ran out into the quiet and now deserted road.
Wow.
And that is The Monkey's Paw, an old story from W.W. Jacobs, as rewritten in a book called Simply Enough, Ghost Stories. You know, stories like that, they make you think more deeply about this whole idea of being careful what you wish for. You know what they say, you might just get it, but you might not like exactly what you get. When we come back, more great Halloween content for you, and how perfect it is to be sitting out here at night around a campfire and digging into it. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.
I'm Lee Pettimore. Seen my daddy and his daddy before. You hardly ever saw granddaddy down here. You only come a town about twice a year.
Trick-or-treat for Halloween. Better give a treat that's good to eat if you want to keep life serene. Trick-or-treat, 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 trick-or-treat. All night through, little scallywags with fiendish gags. can make it tough on you. So when ghosts and goblins by the score ring the bell on your front door, better not be stingy or your nightmares will come true. Trick or treat, trick or treat, trick or treat for Halloween. When the pumpkin shells cast evil spells, your little white house turns green. Your little white house turns green. Your little white house turns green. Every ghost is a ghost if you got a witch's brew. If you want your gate to circulate, oh ho!
We can do that too.
Trick or treat, trick or treat, trick or treat, trick or treat, trick or treat for Halloween. When ghosts and goblins by the score ring the bell on your front door, you better not be stingy or your nightmares will come true. Oh, when ghosts and goblins by the score ring your bell or pound your door, better not be stingy or your nightmares will come true.
Yeah, we are in the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's special Halloween edition of Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Next hour, we are going to talk some about ghost photography, images of the paranormal, and some interesting thoughts that I've been having recently on this subject matter. Of course, Forrest and I are camping out. We are way out in the middle of the woods somewhere in Madison County. And Forrest, during the break, I stepped aside to relieve myself, and there it sounds like something rather large moving around in the woods. I can hear the leaves crackling. So, you know, honestly, I did not bring a gun. I am unarmed, and I would like to know if you have planted somebody out there or not.
Josh, there's no one here, but yes, there are some stories. I'll let you know here during the break or here next hour.
Okay.
No, there's no one here. I swear.
Even the caretaker is not around tonight.
The caretaker is not local.
Okay. All right. I just wanted, I mean, also for your own safety or whatever, I mean, if we hear banjo music playing, we know what that means. It's that kind of territory we're in tonight.
I think you're just when's the last time you spent more than an hour outside?
Oh, come on. It's just, I don't like you setting up something for me, you know?
Cause gosh, it's called fall, autumn. The wind blows, the leaves rustle. Ooh.
All right, but you know, I prefer to set these things up for myself, and so I'm taking a bit of a risk putting the control in your hands here tonight.
Okay, fine. But I'll let you know next that there's a couple stories I want to let you know. I want to let everyone know on the air at the same time.
Okay, fair
enough. What's going on?
There you go. Everybody gets to have the experience together and get to know what Forrest is up to.
Like you don't do the same thing.
Obviously, last year, I went to Transylvania there in Romania and investigated Vlad the Impaler's castles with a great group of people. And so here is one of my favorite poems from Nightmares, Poems to Trouble Your Sleep. This one is called, simply enough, The Vampire. The night is still and somber, and in the murky gloom, arisen from his slumber, the vampire leaves his tomb. His eyes are pools of fire. His skin is icy white. And blood his one desire, this woe-begotten night. Then through the silent city he makes his silent way, prepared to take no pity upon his hapless prey. An open window beckons. He grins a hungry grin. And pausing not one second, he swiftly climbs within. And there, beneath her covers, the victim lies in sleep. With fangs agleam he hovers, and with those fangs bites deep. The vampire drinks till sated. He fills his every pore, and then his thirst abated, licks clean the dripping gore. With powers now replenished, his thirst no longer burns. His quest this night is finished, so to his tomb he turns. And there, a while in silence, he'll rest beneath the mud, until with thoughts of violence, he wakes and utters, blood. The Vampire from Nightmares. Poems to Trouble Your Sleep by Jack Prelitsky. I got to get him on the show sometime. When I was a kid, I wrote a letter to Jack Prelitsky, and I told him how much I enjoyed this book. And I think I might have even sent him one of the books I'd first books I'd published, because I started publishing when I was about 14. And he not only wrote me back a nice letter, but he included a free copy of one of his other books of poetry and signed it to me. And I thought, wow, how cool.
You've arrived.
Yeah, Jack Prelitsky. If you've never checked out his work, you can see it has a rather melodic sort of tone. And we are going to continue sharing some of his work with you tonight. I also have some more scary stories I'm going to read. And looky here, Forrest, I even have a copy of the infamous
Necronomicon.
Yes. This is the little black book with the creepy symbol in the front, the Necronomicon, which is based in the work of H.P. Lovecraft. And there are people who say that this book is, you know, it's just sort of a fictional spinoff. But I have had so many people over the years tell me that when they have actually read the spells and incantations, which often seem nonsensical, from this book, that weird things and awful, scary things can manifest and materialize. And so I think at some point tonight I might read some of the spells from the Necronomicon, and then, of course, later toward the end of the show, when you've had a chance to put the kids away, if you have kids around, we will even play some authentic exorcism audio for you. And if this doesn't make the hair stand up on the back of your neck, I don't know what will. We're going to take a break. When we come back for hour number two, yes, more Halloween goodness. And also, we'll dig into ghost photography a bit. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is the Halloween edition of Speaking of Strange.